We have kind of a running joke, don't we, now at the moment. We've always got to get Murray Bible School in. The word talks about pride. Pride can be a problem. But there are good things to have pride in. And I'm proud that we've got Murray Bible School started. Amen? And it makes all the work worthwhile when one of my students stands up the front and speaks like that. Well done, Michelle. Amen. I want to mention a few dates that you need to put in your diary. The 20th and the 21st of May, that's a Saturday and a Sunday. Brother Paul from Singapore is going to be here with his wife Alicia. Yeah, we need a bit more than that. You guys don't know how blessed you're going to be with this guy. He is an amazing teacher of grace. And we are blessed to have him in Scotland. So on the 20th, that's a Saturday, we're going to have something in our house in the morning where you can come along and meet Paul and his wife. And when we get him to do a little bit of teaching as well. Then in the evening on the 20th, we're going to have a question time. Remember we did that with me and Dave? Yeah. Well, we're going to have something very similar, but it's going to be Vic and Paul. Yay. So we'll do that. It'll be here, but it'll also be live on Facebook. And then on Sunday the 21st, he's going to be taking the service here in the morning. You need to be here. I've met Paul a couple of times now, spent a lot of time with him. Paul coming up here is God ordained. Paul was on staff with Joseph Prince at his church for a long time. And then he started his own ministry. He's now got a ministry in Singapore, Indonesia, all Malaysia. He preaches in Australia, preaches in England. And one time he was in England, I went down to hear him preach. And I met him in a house, and he said, "It's you. I dreamed about you." And from that time, we've just clicked. So we know we're supposed to be working together. God ordained. It has to be God. You wouldn't want to dream about me otherwise. No. He's forgotten more about grace than I preach. It's awesome. So the question time is going to be great. I'll have about 50 questions. So that'll be good. It'll be live on Facebook as well. So 20th and 21st of May. Be there or you're going to miss out. Paul is amazing. Yeah, bring a friend. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, you are an awesome God. You are wonderful. You're so good to us. Thank you for all the songs that we've sung about your goodness, how you're going to be there with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you. We sung about the fact that you've removed all our transgressions from us as far as east is from the west. Thank you that we've been singing about the name of Jesus. It's more powerful than anything else. Higher than all illnesses. Higher than poverty. Higher than depression. Higher than rejection. Everything. Name above everything. We thank you for our worship. Thank you for all that's been shared so far this Lord. Thank you that we've been blessed already, and I thank you that we're going to be blessed even more when we plant these seeds. So thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths held within. Thank you that we're about to plant these seeds in our hearts. So for every single person here, watching, listening, online, and listening to the CD, I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus so those seeds will not be stolen away. Because we want to understand, we want to get those seeds to grow and germinate and produce fruit. So understanding we pray for in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians. Been a few weeks, isn't it? About 2 or 3 weeks, because 3 weeks off Ephesians. Because I was going to preach this message 3 weeks ago, and then the Lord asked me to preach about healing. That was a good one. That was a scary one. Not a lot of pastors and teachers in here, but when you stand up in front of a fellowship, and for that second, you don't know what you're going to preach on. But never mind, we got there. So we're back on Ephesians. So I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 1 to 14, in case you've forgotten them. We've done up to 9 so far, and we're going to do 1 verse today. Lisa, my daughter, keeps laughing when she comes home. It's, oh, are we still in Ephesians 1? Yeah. Yeah, we're still in Ephesians 1, Lisa. Yeah. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Faithful in Christ Jesus, who's that? Us. Amen. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Two really, well, they're all important words, but two hugely important words in that verse. Hath. It's a past tense. It's a done deal. All. Everything. To the exclusion of nothing. We have it all. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Made us. It was through him, but it's made. It's a done deal. It's in the past again. Brilliant. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Again, it's a done deal. We've been forgiven. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'm looking forward to preaching that verse. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We're travelling through Ephesians and we've had some awesome truths already. We have all spiritual blessings. We have been made righteous. We have been adopted into his family. We have been accepted in the beloved. We have been forgiven of all sin. Not through our effort, but through the blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. We have been bought back because of the blood of Jesus. Awesome. And then 3 weeks ago, I spoke about this thing, this mystery of his will. Remember, a mystery that is hidden for us, not hidden from us. That's the key. It's hidden for us, not from us. Come to Murray Bible School and you'll be taught how to find out that mystery that's been hidden for you. Isn't that right, Michelle? Amen. This mystery that has now been revealed in Christ. Full revelation of God is there in Jesus. If we want to know about it, it's all in his word. Verse 1 to verse however many there is in the Bible till the end. It's all about Jesus. If you want to know about God, look to Jesus. He's the express image of the Father, isn't he? Yeah. He can't do anything but what the Father tells him to do. He can only do his mission. It's not his. It's not his own mission. It's just the Father's. The full revelation of God is in here in Jesus Christ. And if you get alongside with the Holy Spirit, you can find out the full revelation of God through what it tells you in here about Jesus Christ. That's awesome. See, what we learned the last time is we can now fully know God. Fully know his character. What will he do? What will he not do? We can know that by looking at Jesus. We can know with certainty that God will no longer send fire down on anyone. The disciples said, we're going to do that. Remember? Shall we be like Elijah? Shall we be like Elijah? Get fired. Jesus, no, we don't do that anymore. So Jesus doesn't do it, so God doesn't do it. Jesus healed all. Jesus had compassion on all. Jesus never refused healing on anyone. So we know God is like that as well. Amen. We know God will not refuse healing for anyone. God's not keeping people in sickness until they learn a lesson. There is a verse for that in the Bible. There is. It's Colossians 2:8. It's a tradition of men. Amen. You're not supposed to add things to the Bible. There should be a little line in the Bible saying about, you know, traditions of men and philosophy and all that. It should also talk about lies from the pit of hell. Because that's what God puts sickness on people. God keeps people ill to teach them a lesson. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell to keep you back. To steal, kill and destroy what you already have. So we can fully know God. We know this by looking at Jesus, Hebrews 1, the express image of the Father. Only does what the Father does. We look to Jesus to see what God will do. That's why saying God moves in mysterious ways is a stupid, ignorant thing to say. Don't ever say that in this fellowship. Or the spirit of slap will come all over me. I mean, we've all said it in the past. If there's something that doesn't happen quite the way we want it to happen, we don't see healing suddenly manifest like it's supposed to. Yeah, there are problems, there's blockages, but it's not God. God's not moving in a mysterious way. Well, why does he heal that person and he doesn't heal me? That might look like God moving in a mysterious way. It's not. God's not keeping you in anything. We're doing that ourselves. So God doesn't move in a mysterious way. Find me the scripture that says that. Anybody? Not in the Bible. So today I'm going on to verse 10. I'm kind of looking around. I'm not so sure where a lot of people are on this topic that I'm going to preach on. But I'm sure I could offend somebody. For a change. I could probably offend some people with what I'm going to speak on today. I'm going to teach on a hot topic in the church, a popular topic, but one that is given far too much focus. Far too much. And I'm going to be quite blunt. But as always, I'm not trying to be offensive. Listen to my heart as I teach this. And as I say, look up the scriptures afterwards, and you'll see that I'm right. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:10. We've had Ephesians 1, 1-9, obviously. All about these great things that we've already got. All about these great things that have already been done to us and for us through Jesus. All these great things that we know about. And then we read verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Suddenly, in the middle, and we'll see as we preach on, it's also about what's already happened. Suddenly, right in the middle of all these great things about what Jesus has already done, we see a verse that is about the future. My understanding of this verse is that it's a future tense. This is something that's going to happen. But it's one verse in the middle of dozens of verses. One verse about the future, dozens and dozens of verses about the wonders of grace, about what Jesus has done and what we already have. So kind of where I'm going to be coming from this morning is, what should we be focusing on? The one verse or the dozens of verses? The dozens. Which is more important? What's the Lord, through Paul, telling us here? What's the most more important things? Is it what's coming in the future that we have no control over whatsoever? Or what we have now? What should we be telling people about? what is going to be coming or what we have now? What should be our focus? What we have now. This verse is about what God has got to do yet. And it's part of his will. It's also not part of his mystery that is hidden for us. This is something that is hidden from us. And something that we are not supposed to know about. Amen. Something that's going to happen yet. Now, let me lay some ground for this. We know that we live under grace, don't we?
Yes.
Look at Romans 6, just in case you don't. Let's look at some scriptures for it. Romans 6, 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. There was a time of law, there is a time of grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Let's not think about the sinning part. There's law and there's grace. There was a dispensation of law. That's past. Finished at the cross. We could debate about it. Did it finish at the cross? Did it finish at the resurrection? Didn't finish. And the Holy Spirit came down. Well, it finished around about then. But now, in 2017, 9th of April, it's finished. We now live under grace. That's what it says. For you are not under law, but under grace. You don't need to look at the Greek to understand that verse. You are not under law, but under grace. Brilliant. So that's talking about the dispensation that we are living under now. We are living under this dispensation called grace. Sometimes called the church age. We heard that? Church age, grace. These verses 14, 15 talk about another dispensation, law. What I believe this verse in Ephesians is talking about is the coming of an end of the dispensation that we're living under. Not an end to grace. Because if you look at the Bible, grace is all the way through the Bible. It's not just grace came in at the cross and grace is going to finish when Jesus comes back. It's not the way it works. You see grace throughout the whole of the Bible. But what we're living under is the dispensation of grace or the dispensation of the church age. There is an end of that coming. When is it going to come, Vic? Don't know. And it's not for us to know. And it's not for us to focus on. And it's not for us to write books about and sell. Hallelujah. I saw once on a t-shirt on Facebook, I was going to buy it. It said, I'm sorry if I've not offended you yet, I will get round to you. I need one of them. God's grace will never end. We see God's grace throughout the whole of the Word. But this time, this era, epoch, age, whatever you want to call it, of grace, is going to come to an end. So what's coming instead? What will replace this dispensation? Well, let's read Ephesians 1:10 again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. What does that mean, Vic? Well, let me read a couple of different translations for you. I'm not sure what these translations are. I've got to write them down, but it says, he showed us the mystery of his plan. It was in keeping with what he wanted to do. It is what he had planned through Christ. It will all come about when history has been completed. God will then bring together all things in heaven and on earth under one ruler, and the ruler is Christ. And another version says, to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. There is a time coming when Jesus is coming back and he is going to be Lord over everything. When's that going to be, Vic? I don't know. Does the Word tell us when it's going to be, Vic? No. Does the Word say we should be studying about it? No. The Word says that is not for you to know. We could go into so many tangents and down so many rabbit holes here about when Jesus is coming back. We could be talking about pre-trib, post-trib. Who gives a trib?
Amen.
Ta-da! That's from Braxy. I stole that from him. He was asked a question. Braxy, is it going to be pre-trib, post-trib? He says, I don't give a trib. It's not for us to know. If you don't know what trib, post-trib, pre-trib means, hallelujah, you're blessed. Don't go and look into it. But we could say, is it pre-trib, post-trib? What's this millennial rule? Is it 7 years? Is it 1,000 years? Am I going to be here? Am I going to be taken away? Am I going to be up in the sky? Am I going to be down here? What's going to happen during this tribulation? This when Jesus comes back? Are we in the end days? Are we in the end times? Have the end times finished? Have the end times started? Was the end times 67 AD, whatever? Is the EU enlarging or breaking up a sign of the end times? I remember one good friend, one really good friend, who was adamant that any new members in the EU was a sign of the end times. And that was when I think there was 12. And then 14, and then how many's in that now? 20, 29? Yeah. Soon to be 28? Well, maybe going back from 29 to 28 is a sign of the end times. Who's the Antichrist? I remember it was supposed to be Gorbachev because he had that big thing on his head, remember? Gorbachev came and went. Pope John Paul II, he was the Antichrist. He's come and went. Obama. Trump. Sturgeon. Could be anybody. What's the point? What is the point in focusing on that? Who cares?
Amen.
Who cares? Is that helpful to your neighbour who's dying?
Nope.
Is that helpful to your family friend who's got an illness that you need to be praying for? Well, don't worry, Jesus is coming back. Trump's the Antichrist, it's all going to be over soon. You're laughing. Go online. Go on. No, don't.
No.
I'm taking an hour of your time to tell you not to do something.
Amen.
I'm taking an hour out of my precious time so you don't have to focus on all this gaff. I'm not going to cover those things this week because here we go. Here's Mr. Controversial. In my opinion, it's not important. I don't give a stuff about that. What I know is what I have now. Yes. And what I know is that on the day of judgment, I can boldly approach the throne of grace.
Yes.
What happens between those two times is out with my control. I can't do anything about it. I can't prepare for it because I don't know when it's going to be. The Lord is coming back. The word is clear on that. And he will rule over all eventually. And the word is clear how we can feel about it. I've kind of jumped the gun a little bit. It's not like me. A bit excited. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The end of the world is coming. I could put on a placard and water in Lossie and say, the end is nigh! Because it's the truth. It's not the good news. It's the truth, but it's not the good news. Whatever happens, oh, whoop-de-doo, the end of the world is coming. Well, it's going to happen, I can't do anything about it. But I know, according to the word, that on that day of judgment, I can have boldness. Not fear or anxiety. As a young Christian, the end of the world used to petrify me. The day of judgment used to petrify me. Because that same good friend, who was obsessed with the EU, used to tell me that on the day of judgment, in front of everybody, God was going to play a video of my life. And I know what I've done in my life, Kate. and I don't want you seeing it. Petrified me, because I know what I've done. But you know what else it did? In the long run, I kept thinking, well, I've done it already. They're going to see that. I might as well do it again. That's the way my mind was thinking. It was fear and anxiety about what was going to happen. And then it was, well, I couldn't care less. I've done it already. What is it, hung for a sheep as for a lamb? I've done it 5 times already. I might as well do it again. Because they're not going to be that upset when they see it the 6th time. I'll just keep doing it. Rubbish. And there's nowhere in here that talks about God going to rerun a video. It wouldn't be a video now, it would be an MPEG. Don't know what it would be. You got loads of USB sticks up there with all our lives. I've got it on video. I'm going to have to change it onto disk and I'll change it onto USB. You know, the truth is, he's wiped the hard drive. It's gone. The Greek in that, but in boldness, means to be confident or to be assured. So whatever it is, it's not a bad thing. If you're in Christ. But we are. So it's not a bad thing. As you probably worked out for yourselves, I have a bit of an issue about the way people teach about the end times. The way some people teach about the end times. About the judgment, about the rapture, about the second coming. A lot of what's out there puts people in fear. However long the devil is in charge of this earth, do I have to live under that? Am I going to have this computer chip put in my forehead? And if I put the computer chip in, does that mean I'm lost? Oh yeah. Who cares? This issue puts people in fear and brings anxiety and brings worry. It's not the gospel. Gospel is a gospel of peace. Oh no, oh my God, I have to live through the tribulation. It's going to be terrible. I'm going to be persecuted. Will I be one of those that fall away? What's going to happen if I fall away? Oh, I'm going to lose my salvation. Am I going to be in hell? Forget it. Forget about it. My word says I can be confident in that day. So there should be no fear. Another big problem I have is people that say the time, the date, and the day that Jesus is coming back. Let's look at Acts. Acts 1. We'll read from 4 to 8. And this is Jesus with the disciples. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? When are ye coming back? When's the second coming? And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, so he's talking to us. Asking about the restoration of Israel, that means the second coming. Means, when are you coming to rule over the earth? And Jesus says, that is not for you to know. Again, we don't have to get into the Greek for that. That is not for you to know. Now, you know I talk about the sovereignty of God. That's another issue I have. God is not in charge of everything. We are his agents on this earth. And he has given us power and dominion and authority over certain things. Lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. So we have authority over sickness and illness. We have authority over poverty, depression, rejection, wind, waves. We have authority over all that. But there are things he has kept control of himself. And one of them is when Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And None of us can know when that is. No matter how thick our books are, no matter how much scriptures we use, no matter how many events we relate to Daniel or Revelation, no matter how we've worked it out, we cannot know that because God said that is not for you to know. So stop wasting your time on the nonsense that people put out there in books and online saying when Jesus is coming back. Stop it. You're wasting your time and your money. I can't remember the name of the guy who sold so many books, so many reasons that Jesus is coming back in this year, and then 2 years later he writes another book. So many reasons why he's coming back this year. I mean, gullible or what? And reasons why he didn't come back. If you're that clever, why did you not get it right the first time? You can't. You cannot know when Jesus is coming back, because Jesus said, that's not for you to know. Sorry, you know better than Jesus? Really? You know better than Jesus? Now he says, you're not to know about that, but you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get out there and preach. Be responsible for the now. There are things he has not given us dominion over. One of them is Jesus coming back. He will decide the time. Only he will decide that. That's got nothing to do with us. We don't know. We can't know. If we're trying to work it out, we're wasting our time. If we're publishing about it, it's just wrong. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and call those people false teachers because I don't know their hearts. It's the heart of someone that makes you a false teacher. Not teaching falsely. I believe people telling us when the date and the time are teaching falsely, but they may well be doing it with a good heart, so they're not false teachers. I'm never going to call anyone a false teacher. But that teachings that they are giving us is false. Please, I urge you, don't get involved with anything like that. Don't be tempted. Oh, that was good. That was interesting that Vic was preaching on. I'm going to have a look and see what's online. Please don't. That's a waste of time. Look at your righteousness instead. Look up the verses about healing. Look up the verses that you need to heal people. Not tell them Jesus is coming back on the 22nd of September 2025 at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's just rubbish. How good does that do anyone? Puts fear into people. Tell them what they've got now. That's what verse 8 says. So in verse 7 he says, stop it. Don't go there. Don't be interested in the time, the date. But, so instead of that, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Our job is not to work out when he's coming back. Our job is to tell people about what he's done already. Witnesses for him. Look what he's done. Look how much he loves you. You can have healing and wholeness and joy and prosperity and peace. That's what we should be teaching. That's what verse 8's about. Get baptized in the Spirit and get preaching, folks. Simple. That should be our focus in this church age. Yes, this church age of grace is coming to an end. But it's not our time or place to know when it's coming to an end. Our job is to tell people about what you can have now. See, salvation is not this concept about what you're going to get when you get to heaven. It's about what you can have now. That's what we should be telling people. Stop focusing on what may or may not happen and focus on what has happened. The finished work of Jesus Christ. Acts 1 verse 7 and 8 are really powerful. Jesus is saying it's not for you to know the time or the place. Your job is to preach the gospel. Now, am I saying the end times, the rapture, the doctrine about all that? Am I saying it's irrelevant or not important? I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying it could be interesting, but it's not vital for your growth as a believer. What is it we're supposed to be focusing on when we're looking at the word for our direct focus and direction on how to change our lives. It's the apostles' doctrine. In a sense, this is not part of the apostles' doctrine. Definitely not. The end times. Yeah, it might be interesting, but it shouldn't be your focus. I know Christians, that's all they talk about. So focused on what's coming, they're nae-yeas just now. Not doing any good. Because they're so focused on looking at the political events. Ooh, Trump bombing Syria. Wonder if I can find something about that in Daniel or in Revelation. We've all seen that, haven't we? Yeah, well, who's attacking Israel now? I mean, that's important politically. For me, we need to stand up with the Israeli nation. But trying to look at all these events and try and put a timetable on them. Well, Jesus is coming back in a couple of weeks. No, that's not important. The importance is, for that person sitting next to you, is I can lay hands on you and heal you in the name of Jesus. I can give you scriptures that will help you out of poverty and into prosperity. That's what's important for people. Not whether Jesus is coming back in a fortnight or 2 years. It's far more important what we do now in this life. We know we have an eternal destiny. I'm not sure what's going to happen between me getting there for the end times. But I know where I'm going and I know how it's going to end up. That's enough for me. I know that in the fullness of time, Jesus will be the Lord over all. That's what verse 10 says. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Heaven and earth, that means literally everything. Spiritual and physical, again, that means everything. It's all going to come under the lordship of Jesus. Jesus will rule over all eventually, in the fullness of time, when... It could be before I'm finished. Some of you might think, hallelujah. I don't know. It's not for us to know, not for us to get hung up on, not for us to focus on. Far more important is understanding about healing, prosperity, salvation, joy, peace, what we have in and through Christ. More important that we focus on other folks' salvation, preaching the gospel. Jesus is coming back. Yes, he will rule over all. Yes. But now is the important time for us. And now is the important time for those who aren't saved. That's our focus. What we've got and what we can manifest and what we can get for other people who haven't got it already. Our job is to learn what we have and tell others. We need to search, we need to put effort in to understand this mystery that's been there for us to find. Not stuff that's been hidden and we're not supposed to find. We look up the good stuff and then tell others. Proclaim it. It's not just to read book after book, website after website about the end times. That's not for us. If this is your pet topic, I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not. Yeah, it's interesting, but it's not essential. People don't need to know when Jesus is coming back. They need to be introduced to him. Amen. Ephesians 1:10 talks about a time to come, but it says nothing about when that will be. It just says, in the fullness of time. Even that doesn't help us. It's one wee verse stuck in the middle of masses of verses about all the great things he's done. It tells us what our focus should be. Not on that. We are living under grace. We're living in the church age. We are blessed. We should be enjoying that blessings and sharing those blessings with other people. Should be telling people, I've been healed. Come and find out why. Who did it? I threw away my job 3 years ago and now I've got more money. Do you want to find out how? I'm more blessed. I'm prosperous. Come and find out how. I used to feel rejection. But now I know I'm accepted in the Beloved. Come and find out how. That's not all me, by the way. But that's an example. You've all got a testimony. Michelle, come and find out. Find out how the Word is changing my life. Find out how I said to Vic once, I can't read the Bible. Find out now. Man, I kind of get her to shut up about it. Amen. Amen. Come and find out what Jesus has done. Nunzi told you about how rather naughty and said a bad thing to her. Was it 2 weeks ago when I wasn't here? That was a joke. It was a joke. But Nunzi said to me, I love what Jesus has done to you. Go and ask her. Ask her what my testimony is. I wasn't the polished, wonderful husband that stands in front of you. I haven't always been perfect. You know, Jesus has changed me. We have a testimony. Ask Lisa, who stood up in a meeting one day and said, I came to know Jesus because I saw a change in my dad. Ask her. That's my testimony. That's what I've got because of Jesus. I don't give a stuff when he's coming back because that's not for me to know. But ask me about what he's done for my life now. Ask me how I'm almost manifested my full healing. How I know he's made me prosperous. Given me peace. Changed me from that Captain Cynic, yeah? Changed me from that cynical, grip it, miserable caterpillar. Now look at this beautiful butterfly that you see before you. I've changed. That's my testimony. And my family have seen it. People want to know about that. Rather than, you need to get Jesus before he comes back, which is probably in a fortnight, or you're going to burn. I'm kind of going way off track here. It's not good news to tell people that Jesus is coming back, and if they don't know him, they're going to be in trouble. It's the truth. But it's not the good news. It is the good news that brings men to repentance. It is the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. That's what the Word says. Tell people how good God is. Tell them about salvation in heaven. Don't tell them about hell. Don't tell them what a worm they are. Tell them what a butterfly they can be. It's good news. What we have in Jesus is amazing. We've looked at that in Ephesians 1, 3 to 9. And we're going to start back on it again in verse 11 next week. That's all great stuff. I still haven't worked out why that's in there. Other than it's what God wrote. So it's obviously supposed to be there. Right in the middle of all this stuff about great things, it says, yeah, there is a time coming when Jesus will be Lord over all. He's coming back. But verses 3 and 9 are just astounding. What we have as a gift of grace through faith is just amazing. That's what people need to hear. Need to hear that we've got it, need to hear that they can have it. They don't need to hear about whether EU membership or UN membership is a sign of the end times, or whether Gorbachev, Obama, Trump, better don't upset people, get all my politics wrong, or whether Theresa May, Jeremy Corbyn, or Nicola Sturgeon is the Antichrist. They don't need to know that. We don't need to know that. They don't need to know anything about that. They need to hear about the person of Jesus Christ, what he's done and what he can do for them now. Forget about the future in terms of when Jesus is coming back. Yeah, we need to think about the future and, man, the future is going to be great. I'm going to see this healing. I'm going to see that peace. I'm going to see that joy. I'm going to see that prosperity. But we don't need to talk about when Jesus is coming back. Yes, there is a different dispensation coming. Verse 10 says that. But that will take care of itself. It's not for us to know. Your task is to do Acts 1:8. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and go out and be witnesses for him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship.
Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.